Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see you all here today. It's kind of nice to walk outside and not shiver and feel ice falling down on top of me. But there were some sprinkles, I think, this morning a little bit, but not too bad, not too bad. We're getting there, right? We're getting there. So the Lord, yes. Uh-oh, we're having a little bit of difficulties over here. Yeah, that's about the way it is these mornings. The Lord bless the technology, we pray. That song that we just sang, let me give you a little history, because I was looking at you know, type of music, things that honor the Lord today. There's a guy named Patrick, and he was in Ireland, and this local king gave an edict to observe a pagan druid festival. He said, nobody can light any flame or candle during this time. So they wanted to be in darkness, all right, to celebrate this festival, you know. But this guy, Patrick, he just didn't feel the same way. In fact, he got up that morning, early that morning, and he went up on a hill, and he lit a huge bonfire. And that when the Irish people got up that morning, they woke up to a bright fire. And in Patrick's heart, he's saying, there's only one person that deserves our praise and honor, and that's God. And he says, you know, God, you know, he's the one that shines in the darkness. See, this guy, Patrick, we recognize him today as Saint Patrick. He had a really powerful witness to the Irish people. If you look at the history of Patrick and how the Lord used him, he was kidnapped first as a child from England to Ireland. He met the Lord in Ireland. He escaped back to England, but God called him back to the Irish. And he had a wonderful ministry amongst them, standing firm in faith. And when I think about that, I go, you know, lead us not into temptation. You know, today for the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going, well, that's interesting. Why is my heart being directed these ways? And then as we're singing that song, this song was a poem written a long time ago about Patrick. About probably maybe even the thing that he did there, but his heart for the Lord. And it was lost for many years until somebody made it a song. So don't forget, Patrick, St. Patrick, was way back, 400 AD, so that's quite almost 2,000 years ago that he was doing this. Amazing. But in that the hymn that we sang, it just touched me because it says this one line. It says, riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always, thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure thou art. That speaks a lot to me, and I think it's going to speak a lot even to what, you know, when we're in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. You know, what does that mean? We're going to be learning a little bit about that. When I looked at Patrick's story there, also reminded me of a guy named Elijah on top of a mountain. And against 400 prophets of Baal, and 400 other prophets were there who did not, you know, they were causing the country to really to worship demons, truthfully. But God directed Elijah to go on top of Mount Carmel and challenge them. And God, in the answer to Elijah's prayer, sent fire from heaven to burn up sacrifice on the altar. And the people who were being misguided, the tempting of their hearts, it caused them to fall away from God for all those years. They fell down, prostrate, and cried out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And I kept going, well, what caused these guys, you know, Patrick, Elijah, to get up there, you know, to stand firm? And I really think that we're going to find our answer as we look at this message today, as in the Word of God, even in part of the prayer, lead us not into temptation. Let's pray before we go on. Lord God, yes, there's many things that want to draw our hearts away, even now. There's other things to think about, other concerns in our lives. But Father, we're here gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. And we just thank you that we can do that, first of all. Thank you that we can come and hear your Spirit speaking through your Word. And we pray that you'll just open our hearts to new things. Things teach us of new things that maybe we forgot or didn't even know before, or remind us of things that, you know, been taught before, but we just put away because maybe we just weren't ready to hear. Or maybe the world has just been so beaten down on us, or the enemy's schemes just surrounding us, and we're all bound up in ourself. Father, free us. Lord, may these words free us to live lives of freedom in Christ. Only you have set us free, the truth. So bless this time together, we pray. May your name receive all the glory and honor. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So as we were looking at that part about, you know, and lead us not to temptation, well, that temptation part actually can have a couple meanings. It can mean temptation, but also it can mean testing. So it depends on the context, right? And people going, well, shoot, what's going on here in my life? You know, or every day we're coming up against something, right? Well, one thing about man's heart, you know, is if we have to remember, you know, we have a tendency. Remember, I remember our life group, the Friday night life group, and we're talking about the fall of man. And what happened when Adam and Eve ate the apple or whatever it was, the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat? What were they starting to do afterwards when God came to them? She did it. Oh, no, it was the serpent. And the serpent's going, what? You know, blame. You know, the first thing we do is we cause a problem. We have a problem in our lives. I know when I go golf and I hit a bad shot off in the woods, I always go, oh, that wind. Oh, if it wasn't for the wind. You know, something. You got to have something to blame it on. Is that something about the scapegoat? You remember the scapegoat? Yeah, you got to have a scapegoat. We always do. So, and James 1 is kind of going, hey, listen. Just listen. You know, God's speaking. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. You know, because a lot of people go, God did it. God did this to me. You know, well, but he doesn't tempt. But God does what? He tests. All right? He tests. And we can go on and on about that. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So one thing we have to make clear, God does not tempt. You know, evil does not come in, you know, his character will not allow any evil near him, and he does not make anybody fall into temptation. That is not his way, all right? But there is one that wants us to fall into temptations. In fact, the testings that God gives us in our lives, the enemy likes to turn into something else. But we'll talk about this first. You know, what God is looking at, he's testing up your faith. There's something good he's making. You know, it might not feel good, okay, going through surgery or sickness or some issues in life, or just, you know, just trying to get real with God and fall in obedience, and we keep falling and just all over ourselves, and we just, but the testing of our faith produces perseverance. See, he's testing us for something good for us, because let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. God loves perfection. He's perfection. He wants to perfect us. He's going to test us. He's going to test us. We have to understand that. But the testings and the testings might not be that easy. I mean, Abraham had to offer his son that he was waiting 25 years and to be ready to sacrifice him. But he passed the test, and God said no. But before that, Abraham said, oh, I'll make my own way. God, I can't wait for you. I'm going to have a child with another woman. My plan is better than yours. He failed. And then there's lots of consequences after that. The testings go on and on. But for a good thing, so we can have that perseverance that will complete, make us complete and mature, lacking no good thing. That's our Father. But the thing is, we also have an enemy. And one of the things, a heart problem that we have, it comes on us, all right? It starts with us, all right? One thing we have to understand about ourselves is that sin, things like that, it's an inside job. Nobody can force us to sin. Oh, they might think they can force us pushes and do this and that, but it's up to us. It's right here. And in Jeremiah, he's crying out this. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's our hearts. We deceive ourselves so often. And one of the things we deceive ourselves is that we want to be like God. We are going to be like God. We're going to be just as good as God or even better. I could do things better than God. I got better timing than God. That's the way we are. That's our hearts. That's man and woman. See, these guys are standing alive, you know. they're waiting. You know, a lot of times God tests us in the waiting. You know, like Abraham. Sometimes he tests us in different ways too, even through situations with relationships or family or jobs or schooling or whatever it is, but he tests us because he wants to purify us, to make us into his people that will honor his name. And then we also, not only do we have the issue of our hearts being deceptive, but then we have an enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. He's looking. He's looking for every opportunity. See, he'll take these testings in our lives. You know what he does with them? He makes them into temptations. See, did you remember Jesus? He went out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. It was a testing. He was getting his heart in line with God. He was being prepared for the ministry. Satan came in there right at the end. Says, oh, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to tempt him, and I'm going to knock him off the path. That's what Satan does. See, the testings God gives us, whatever it is that's going on in our lives, that's being a test to us, God wants us to move forward and to develop, you know, to mature, to be complete. But the enemy's going, oh, I'm going to move you this way, and I'm going to entice you to go this direction so you will curse God, or you'll leave God, or you fall off the path and you just forget God, or whatever it is that he doesn't want us to develop our relationship or trust in God. Mainly, that's the biggest issue. One of the biggest issues is trust. You look through the whole Bible from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, trust. They couldn't trust God's word. You know, God is trying to build trust with us. The testings usually are about trust. If not, everyone is about trust and obedience unto him. So the heart of the problem is easily found in James. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. So it's on us. It's on us. You know, like I said, sin is an inside job. You know, the enemy is there. He's prowling, he's looking, but he cannot force us to sin. He can tempt us, but all, it comes down to our hearts. And this, then after these desires have been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. You know, these evil desires, this selfish ambition that we have in our hearts. See, there's a fight. There's a two-kingdom fight. There's a fight between our kingdom that we're building in our own lives and God's kingdom. We are in conflict. When we follow Christ, when we say, yes, Jesus, I'm following you. We're in a battle. See, before that, we were friends with the enemy. There was no issue going on. We're all happy and walking our own paths and all that stuff, but then God came in our lives and said, nope, I got something better for you. Follow me. And when we say, okay, I'll follow you, then the struggle begins. You know, when Christ died for us, he paid the penalty of our sin. That's done. Okay, that's gone. But you know what remains? Sin. We still have to deal with it in our lives. The consequences of it and the daily flow of stuff coming into our lives, our own hearts. You know, what the world throws at us, what we throw at ourselves, and what the enemy's always looking to do. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. It's a struggle that leads us, you know, Jesus adding this to his prayer. You know, lead us not into temptation. It's kind of like we're begging, please, please lead us not into temptation. It's a plea. It's a begging. Help us, Father. See, our faith is it's a roller coaster, right? I mean, I think we would all agree to that. If you're always on a high, I'm amazed because for me, it's an up and down. And sometimes it's a twirl around. And it's an up and twirls and all these things that they do, you know. And it's because of my heart. It's not God. It's not that his word is too difficult for me to understand, especially the simple truth. No, it's my heart. It's my own selfish ambitions that caused me. You know, and Job is a perfect example. If you read the book of Job, in fact, I just started reading that, my daily devotions. You know, God said, you know, as the angels came around and just presenting himself before him, and then then Satan came as well. And Satan's, you know, going, well, I've been all over the place looking for somebody to chew up, pretty much. And God says, well, did you look at my Job, my servant? He is blameless. He's a wonderful guy. You can't do anything to this guy. He's honest, integrity. And Satan says, well, you did all this. You do all this stuff. He's rich. You protect him and all that stuff. Let me have Adam. And God says, okay, I'll let you have Adam. But you can't kill him. So, of course, Satan got Adam, took away everything. His children were died. All his earthly possessions were either taken away from somebody or burned up. But, and then Satan says, you know, when I do this, he's going to curse you, Father. He's going to curse you, God. He's going to curse you to your face. Guarantee it. But Job did the exact opposite. He fell down on his face and just says, hey, what the Lord has given, he has taken away. I'll worship you, Father. And then Satan came back again and says, well, you know, God says, hey, look. You know, even when you did that, he's still integrity. He's honest. He's blameless. What a wonderful servant. And says, well, let me touch more than just his things. Let me get after him. And God says, okay, but you cannot kill him. So Satan caused boils to come from head to toe on his body. And probably feeling feverish and all that stuff too. And his wife, the only thing that God didn't take away from him, says, hey, aren't you done with this? Curse God and die. What a temptation that was. Oh, man. What an opportunity to curse God and die. End it right there. But Job couldn't. He said, no. What? I can receive good things from him, but don't we expect some trouble from him? Some testing? He didn't. And as time went on, you know, he grumbled because he's human, because his heart You know, he wanted to have those times of God and just present himself. I am okay. There should be no problem with me. Why are you doing this to me? Right? And he has this issue here. He says, what is mankind that you make so much of them, that you give them so much attention, that you examine them every morning, test them every moment? Can you hear him? Can you hear yourself? I can hear myself. Oh, I can hear myself loud and clear here. Will you never look away from me or let me alone even for an instant? Have you felt that way? Do you feel that way now? If I have sinned, what have I done to you? You who sees everything we do? Why have you made me your target? Have I become a burden to you? Are you being truthful to God? Are you there or have you been there? Oh, I'm sure we have, maybe even now. You know, that's man. But, you know, out of his grumbling and stuff, that there's something true. He's sharing, he's crying out to God. Not a bad thing to do. He didn't run from God. And then he finally came to his senses later on when God kind of gave him, you know, I guess, redirected his heart, truthfully. And then these are Job's words. He says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. And then at the very end, he says, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. We all need to do this. Testings comes, temptations fall our way because the enemy or our own selfish ambitions. But Job got it right at the end. And we're nothing. God's plans cannot be thwarted. We deceive ourselves and start thinking that we understand things we don't understand. We start talking and doing things that are totally against what God has for us. And then we wonder why we're all chained up and we need a chain breaker. We're all these pains that we have and we need a pain taker. And we lose our way and we need a way maker. We need a Savior, right? A prison-shaken Savior. Because we put ourselves in prison. And we know many people around us, too. This is a truth that we all need to know. If you forget everything else, remember this. This is Job. This is Abraham. This is Moses. This is Paul. This is Peter. This is John. This is all the apostles. These are people who are living today, who we know who are faithful. This is Pastor White. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. You see, when the temptations come, it's all about me. It's all about me. Ooh, that looks so good. I want that. Or, oh man, this guy did this. I'm going to blast him off his seat. I'm going to condemn him. I'm going to judge him. Oh. That's kind of nice looking. Nobody will see me do that. Oh, there's a test coming up. Oh, my friend over there gets A's all the time. I'll do this. It goes on and on and on. Right? It's about us. Patrick found this. St. Patrick. Elijah understood this. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Those temptations that come our way, you know, the testings we're going through to improve us, to strengthen us, to complete our faith. And then the enemy or ourselves or the world comes about and try to move us and do things and tie us all up and get us away from God. When we redirect our hearts and remember, it's not about us. We need to humble ourselves. Despise ourselves, deny ourselves. And then he's the one who will lift us up. He's the one that gives us things that we can never imagine, can't think about, just more, abundantly more. And of course, our great inheritance that waits for us as we stand firm. It's a truth that these are truths that cause Elijah and Patrick to go up on those hills and light those fires. Their lives were on the line. Okay, they could have easily been killed. They could have run, turned away. They could have taken care of their own selves. God, this is too much for me. No, I can't do it. I got to think about myself. I got to think about my family. I got to think about my own things that I got home. No, because of this attitude, they're saying, I'm all in. Because I know you got everything I need. See, there's hope. And all of this battle that we have day after day, moment to moment, there is hope. There's always hope because God always gives us hope. Because we have the hope of glory living within us. That's the mystery. Did you know that? It's a mystery. Who can understand it? It's so precious. But here in James, it's right in front of us. You know, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test. Oh, that test was difficult. How long is it going to last? I don't know. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Wow, that's hope. That'll drive me through the trials, the testings, even those temptations that want to knock me off the path. And there's victory. See, submit. See, people say, well, how can we overcome? Well, we get our big old machine gun out and we take them out. We got our nuclear weapons. Let's blow it up. Doesn't work that way. It's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. All this is spiritual matter. So he says, do the hardest thing. This is a test for you right now. Submit. Humble yourselves then to God. Not to the government. Not to another person or another philosophy or another religion, but to God. Resist. So you submit, then you resist, because now you're not standing in your own strength, but now you got the Holy Spirit girding you up. And when you pray that prayer, lead me not into temptation, really what you're saying is, God, protect me. I need your power to protect me, because I can't do it on my own. I can't. I have to fall down. I have to get humbled and trust in you. And then I can resist and know that the devil will flee. And then even better, come near to God. And he'll come near to me. See, when you do that, temptations, you remember that one hymn, you know, where things go strangely dim in the light of his amazing grace, right? His love, his power, his presence. Things of this world just go strangely dim. They're just not that important anymore. That nice new car, just not important anymore. That lion that roars, prowling around, look what's happening there. He's going to be tossed. He's going to flee. The power of the Holy Spirit is awesome. Greater than he is. And we have a deliverer. See, in 1 Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He doesn't run away. He doesn't say, you're not worth it. You failed a test too many times. I am done with you. He doesn't do that. He says, I'll test you again. That's what he'll do. You fail the test, I guarantee you, you're going to get that pop quiz again. He's coming. See, that's how he does things. He's the teacher. He's the perfecter of our faith. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, even though it feels, a lot of times I feel like it's more, but he will not allow it to go beyond. And then, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way so that you can endure it. So he'll have an escape hatch for us that we can't do anything about, but he, by his grace, pulls us out. One way or another, maybe he'll take us to heaven with him. That could be a way. Or maybe it's just bringing healing or healing to a relationship or this threat or this danger is knocked, you know, taken away. It's dismantled. It's gone. I don't know. But we have a deliverer. See, what does it look like? Well, you know, first of all, don't deceive yourself to be more than who you are. Don't deceive yourself that there's no God. Don't deceive yourself that you know better and you have the best timing and all that stuff. All right? Pray for God's protection and power, because that's where we got to go to. And don't put yourself in harm's way. I guarantee you, that's one thing we do. You know, that chocolate cake is there, man. You know, the closer you get, that slice looks better and better. The closer you get, you can smell that chocolate cake. The mother load. Let's do it. I want that. Who can make the mother load? Come on. Come on. I want to see it. Easter, I want to see it. Yes. I don't mind a couple slices. This is the next four that is the bad part. All right. So you got something that's really a weak, you know, something that, you know, you need, you know, you have issues with. You know, it's too much for you right now. Well, don't go near it. Joseph knew what he had to do. He had to run. He ran. He didn't go, oh, but let me think. No, he ran. We have to have that same type of attitude. Don't, you know, if this person is just annoying you, don't go near that person anymore, because you know you're going to shout them down. Just pray, get away and pray for a little bit. You know, take it to the Lord. It's amazing. John the Baptist understood, like the rest of us, right? He must become greater, I must become less. Humble yourselves and he will lift you up. Simple words, oh, so hard to do. But this is what he asks us to do. See, because he wants us to be like the Elijahs and the Patricks that go up and says, light the fire. See, there's a lot of people that are living in darkness. They need to see the light. They need to know that there's hope. There's deliverer. There's victory. You know? And you guys got it. We have it. Even in all of our temptations that we face, even all the times we fail, we have that third piece, chocolate cake. God is faithful. He'll always be with us. And he'll always move us forward into his love. An honest path. Let's pray. Father God, light our fires. Light our fires with your word. Light our fires by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father God, without you, we cannot overcome these temptations that come into our lives. And because we know, Lord, that there are so much against us, our own lives and our own hearts and in the world around us, and the enemy, of course, always trying to take us down. But Father, we know that you're greater than anything in this world. The one who is in us is greater than anything in this world. And we call upon you. Ask you to protect us, Lord. To empower us. Help us to resist. Not just resist, but to stand firm in the faith, Lord. And to fall down before you. Humble ourselves. And allow you to become greater than us. Stop deceiving ourselves. And receive your love. and to walk in this love, and that we can go on top of those hills and light those fires for others to see. Not because we're all that, but for you, to show them you, to connect them to you, so they can have that Savior in their lives. We praise you and thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all those people say, amen. Amen.